This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Never mind the tax cuts. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Thursday, August 22nd, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is now moving away from discussing potential tax cuts to keep the economy going. Hear the reason for the change of heart.
New immigration policy would allow U.S. officials to detain undocumented children indefinitely while keeping them with their families.
Another candidate has withdrawn from the Democratic presidential primary.
And cereal makers are once again trying to improve their lagging sales.
Sales have been falling. Consumers have been moving away from cereal. Breakfast is increasingly seen as an attractive kind of space for a lot of fast food chains and a lot more food manufacturers. So consumers have been like shifting what they eat at breakfast, and cereal has been losing out.
Wall Street Journal reporter Micah Maidenberg on new marketing efforts by food companies that make cereal. He's here in about 20 minutes. Well, President Trump is now stepping back from further consideration of any tax cuts, a pivot from the day before when he had described several such measures the White House was contemplating, such as a payroll tax cut or a drop in the capital gains tax rate by indexing gains to inflation.
I'm not looking to do indexing. I've studied indexing for a long time. I think it will be perceived if I do it as somewhat elitist.
The Wall Street Journal says some in the White House have expressed concern that talking about tax cuts sends the signal that there is an economic problem that needs fixing, which administration officials strongly reject. Instead, some advisors have urged the president to focus on blaming the Fed for any economic issues. On that note, the president also has been pressuring the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates at a rate usually reserved for when the economy is severely struggling. Yesterday morning, Mr. Trump compared Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to, quote, a golfer who can't putt. The Trump administration has introduced the latest effort to improve immigration laws. The policy change announced yesterday would allow authorities to detain families as they go through their immigration proceedings rather than release them or separate children from their parents. President Trump said he hoped the new rules would deter migrant families from risking their lives on a perilous journey to the U.S. border. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan.
The new rule establishes a high national standard for care of children and families in custody, allows the government to keep families together for fair and expeditious immigration proceedings, restores integrity to our immigration system, and eliminates the incentive for children to be used or exploited to enter the United States.
Immigration rights advocates are expected to challenge the rules in federal court. A legal challenge would likely keep the policy from taking immediate effect. The current 20-day detention limit specifies that the government may not hold on to children beyond that period unless they are housed in a state-licensed facility. Well, as President Trump says, the new tactic effectively ends a catch-and-release program. More from Bart Janssen, Justice Department reporter at the USA Today. Bart, how did this develop?
Well, we had a settlement in a federal lawsuit 22 years ago that tried to set rules for detaining children who arrived in the U.S., undocumented children who arrived in the U.S. on their own. And there were these rules to try to say, all right, you know, don't keep them very long. Move them out expeditiously. You know, don't keep them in like jail-like circumstances. And it was called the Flores Settlement. And then that agreement got sort of modified or altered in about 2015 when more families began to arrive, adults with children. And the judge in this long-standing case said, well, wait a minute, you got to apply these same rules to families as they arrive. So the federal authorities, the Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, had to try to move the children through the system as expeditiously as possible. What that meant was that when they arrived as families, they were typically released within 20 days, are typically released within 20 days of being detained at ICE facilities. That has led to what critics call a catch-and-release policy, and that's what the Trump administration is trying to end.
Right. All right, so is this being positioned as a more humane way to do this, by keeping families together?
Well, the Trump administration would definitely say that. They say, you know, rather than separate them, that the options right now is if you have individual adults, they are detained by ICE. If you have undocumented children alone, they are taken in by the Department of Health and Human Services, which can deal with children. The problem that this little aspect of the immigration problem is dealing with is, how do you deal with families? Nobody really houses families under civil detention together. And so there's no state licensing for that, and that's what's prevented the federal authorities from having any sort of permanent resolution to the problem. So this proposal is a regulation to try to meet the demands of that 1997 lawsuit settlement. If the judge were to agree, then finally you get rid of that settlement. You say, okay, here are the new rules. This would be the new package. But even the federal authorities expect legal challenges to this. They don't expect it to go smoothly. There will be criticism of this proposal.
What are the facilities like for these families?
Well, Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Kevin McAleenan gave a news conference today, and he insists that these ICE facilities, Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities, they have three of them. They have about 3,000 beds, and that they are much nicer than what you picture for individual detention or the short-term detention that you've seen a lot of criticism about under Customs and Border Protection, where they're just, you know, dealing with people closer to the border and, you know, having way overcrowded cell space that lawmakers have been complaining about all summer.
We're speaking with Bart Jansen, USA Today Justice Department reporter, about the Trump administration announcing this plan that would let it detain undocumented children indefinitely. Is that designed to be a deterrent to migrants, and will they see it that way?
That's what the Trump administration hopes. You know, at this point, just the way the rules got interpreted in 2015, the effect was that if an adult had a child with him, that being classified as a family meant, even if you get detained, many of these families walk up to Border Patrol officers, even between ports of entry, but they walk up, they surrender, and they say, we're trying to claim asylum, help us. And so they know they've got this 20-day timer, this 20-day deadline that they will be released. And so that's why they argue, the federal authorities now argue, that the number of families coming in has exploded in recent years, from something like 14,000 families in 2013 to more than 400,000 families so far this year. So the Trump administration says, hey, if we take away this incentive, if they might have to be locked up or detained in these residential facilities for as long as their asylum cases take to process, then there won't be an incentive to bring the children anymore, and then it will be more like the individual detention that we've been more used to seeing. They think it will discourage bringing families, or at least bringing the children along as the people make these dangerous journeys.
Thanks, Bart. Bart Jansen, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. President Trump said he favors additional background checks for gun buyers, but is not offering details. after he seemed to back off from supporting stricter rules under pressure from gun rights activists. He told reporters outside the White House yesterday, "We are going to be doing background checks. We are going to be working with Democrats. We are working with Republicans.
We're working on background checks. There are things we can do, but we already have very serious background checks. We have strong background checks. We can close up the gaps. We can do things that are very good and things that, frankly, gun owners want to have done."
Mr. Trump didn't elaborate on the state of any talks with lawmakers, and his comments didn't clear up where he stands on guns following the mass shootings earlier this month in Texas and Ohio. Under federal law, licensed firearms dealers must conduct background checks of purchasers to screen out convicted criminals and others ineligible to own firearms, but many private transactions are exempt. It's 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, don't spend that extra money you were anticipating from a possible payroll tax cut. President Trump says he's decided to drop that idea for boosting the economy because a payroll tax cut is not needed at this time. Trump had tossed the idea around a day earlier. In remarks to reporters, the president also defended his trade war with China.
"Somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it, so I'm taking on China."
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has a grim warning about the trajectory of federal spending. The CBO says the federal debt is on an unsustainable course and that lawmakers will have to increase taxes or cut spending or both to get the country on a sustainable footing. The federal deficit is expected to balloon to more than $1 trillion in the next fiscal year. Washington Governor Jay Inslee intends to seek a third term as governor. That news comes after Inslee announced on MSNBC at the end of his presidential campaign.
"It's become clear that I'm not going to be carrying the ball. I'm not going to be the president, so I'm withdrawing tonight from the race."
Inslee is expected to officially announce his reelection intentions later today. The World Health Organization says, yes, microplastics in drinking water are a problem, but sewage in water is an even bigger problem. And the WHO says plastics in water pose a low risk to human health at current levels, but more research is needed to reassure consumers. The organization says the biggest overall health threat in water is from microbial pathogens from human and livestock waste entering water sources, especially in poor countries lacking water treatment systems. Let's hear it for the shelter pets. Disney says a rescue dog will make his film debut in its live-action remake of Lady and the Tramp. Monty, a 2-year-old terrier mix, will play Tramp in the film, set to premiere on the Disney Plus streaming service when it launches in November. The pup was originally in a municipal shelter in New Mexico before being moved to Phoenix, where he was discovered by a group of Hollywood animal trainers. Monty was a shelter favorite due to his good behavior and sloppy wet kisses.
Very good. Good for Monty.
Yes.
Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Cereal makers, under increasing competitive pressure, are struggling to improve sales of puffed rice, wheat flakes, and oat clusters that were once a standard part of Americans' morning routines. But marketers say, don't count us out just yet. More from Micah Maidenberg, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Micah, what's in the cereal market?
Sales have been falling. Consumers have been moving away from cereal. Breakfast is increasingly seen as an attractive kind of space for a lot of fast food chains and a lot more food manufacturers. So consumers have been like shifting what they eat at breakfast, and cereal has been losing out.
Wow. What happens to this being the most important meal of the day and cereal being a part of that?
Well, there's certainly cereal makers out there that would make the case that eating, you know, cereal to start the day is a good idea. Right. They've also pitched it as, you know, dinner, you know, for dinner or late night snacks. But there's, you know, how consumers are like eating and what they eat at breakfast is changing. I mean, some people aren't eating breakfast at all, but just sort of, you know, waiting for opportunities later in the day.
All right. So that has forced cereal makers to do what here?
Yeah. We've seen, you know, cereal makers sort of double down on sugary versions, you know, go against the kind of like health trends that exist in the food world. And basically, you know, go back to some of the old playbooks in kind of food production, which is like in new product development, increased marketing, those sorts of things. Like, for example, on the new product side, like General Mills has a cereal that lists almonds as the very first ingredient. And that's, you know, meant to appeal to consumers that are looking for, you know, protein. And then Kellogg, which is another big maker, has offered up like new versions of some of their classic brands like Fruit Loops and Rice Krispies.
Yeah. We're speaking with Micah Maidenberg, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about his piece entitled Cereal Makers Try Again to Jumpstart Stale Sales. Are they actually reducing overall the number of cereals that are available as they roll out a couple of new ones here and there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually the retailers have been, we've seen some data that shows that retailers have lowered the amount of kind of major cereal brands that they stock on their shelves. You know, if you're a retailer and you're looking at a kind of product category like cereal that consumers are buying less of, maybe you say to yourself, maybe we'll dedicate less space for that, you know, in our stores. So that's sort of an issue that cereal makers have to address is, you know, how do we get retailers to stock more of our stuff?
So given the picture that you painted, I thought it was interesting because you said, some of these food makers said their investment in marketing plans can actually lift sales again. Why has that failed in the past, I guess, or past recent history?
Food makers have sort of, a number of companies have sort of said, are realizing now just how important it is to sort of constantly sort of pitch consumers with new news, new information, new marketing, new products. Like, and over the last few years, some of them have told me, like, look, we didn't do enough of that to sort of keep shoppers engaged.
Who has enlisted the help of the rapper Travis Scott you referenced in your story?
Yeah, that was General Mills, the Minneapolis company that probably, you know, folks know is the producer of Cheerios and Wheaties. And so General Mills worked with Travis Scott to sort of design this sort of limited run set of boxes that, you know, he Travis Scott designed it, and it's sort of sold in a limited run. The idea there is to sort of create some buzz and sort of get attention those are the sorts of efforts like, you know, General Mills and other cereal makers are making to kind of draw in younger consumers and sort of like try to add some new freshness to some of these brands.
Thanks, Micah. Micah Maidenberg, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. When I was growing up, by the way, top cereals, Cap'n Crunch and Fruity Pebbles, the rest were pretenders. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This podcast is brought to you by ClearBank. ClearBank is changing the way entrepreneurs raise money with equity-free capital. The co-founders developed ClearBank after seeing how many companies were willing to part with precious equity in exchange for a bigger marketing budget. But ClearBank believes that founders shouldn't give up a piece of their company to fund marketing and inventory expenses. They make equity-free investments from $10,000 to $10 million and can get you a term sheet in less than 20 minutes. ClearBank charges a small flat fee for the capital, and you pay them back using revenue sharing. To be clear, this is not a loan. Plus, no credit checks and no financial covenants. So if you're doing over $10,000 a month in revenue, find out how you can receive ClearBank Capital by getting your 20-minute term sheet at clearbank.com/Gordon. That's clearbank.com/Gordon. ClearBank. Stop pitching and get back to doing what you love, growing your business. ClearBank.com/Gordon.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Thursday, August 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump no longer considering tax cuts. U.S. wants longer detention for migrant families, but will keep them together. Arizona officials today consider whether to lower college tuition rates for illegal immigrants who were brought to the U.S. by their parents. New report now finds a professor at Yale sexually assaulted students for decades. He was initially investigated in 1994, but nothing happened. And the mom who hosted a job fair for chores in the house for her kids. That story in about 20 minutes. President Trump's re-election campaign will dispatch more than a dozen female surrogates today to some of the most important 2020 battleground states in its first major push to mobilize suburban women, a critical voting bloc that revolted against Republican candidates as recently as the midterm elections last fall. More from Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Gabby, how important is this block?
Suburban women could make or break his re-election chances, and that's why you see the campaign making this big push this week. This is the first time that they're going to be really going after suburban women in 2020 battleground states, trying to get them to support the president, get them trained so that they can go out and speak highly of him in their own communities and sort of build out a grassroots coalition of suburban women, suburban moms, college-educated white women, people who traditionally wouldn't support President Trump.
What did we learn about them from the 2018 midterms?
Well, in a number of the states that I list in this article, the states where you're going to see female Trump surrogates deployed later this week, I'm talking about Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Texas, Arizona. These are all states where suburban women, that voting demographic, flipped in favor of Democrats in 2018. Their enthusiasm, there's a significant gap in their enthusiasm with regards to the Democratic candidates for Congress versus Republican candidates for Congress. And even in more recent polling, when you look at the presidential election, you see a pretty major gap in support for your generic 2020 Democrat versus President Trump among both college-educated white women and non-college-educated white women. And that latter group is important to take a closer look at because traditionally, we would consider those voters part of the president's base. That's the non-college-educated white suburban women is a group that he carried with 56 percentage points in 2016. So to see that they're now turning away from him is a major cause for concern for his campaign.
So the message will be what to these women?
They are going to be talking a lot about women's economic empowerment. If you talk to members of his campaign, if you talk to White House officials, they will consistently say that women have benefited under this administration. They will point to the latest White House budget, which included a paid family leave proposal. They will point to the female unemployment rate, which has hovered somewhere between 3.5% to 4% since last summer, and that's the lowest it's been in nearly 30 years. They'll talk about the doubling of the child tax credits. These are all of their sort of data points that they'll bring up in these conversations. But one thing that could easily derail that message is if we do see a potential economic downturn in the coming months. If we head into 2020 and we're getting closer and closer to a recession, it's going to be harder for the Trump campaign to sort of sell that message to suburban women.
We're speaking with Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Team Trump Launches Coast-to-Coast Campaign for Suburban Women. Who are some of these lead messengers right now, Gabby?
Well, it totally varies. They're all members of the Women for Trump Coalition. That's a group of women who have come together, and their main goal is to sort of bring suburban women into the fold. Jan Brewer, the former Arizona governor, will be one of the people hosting an event on Thursday to get out the vote. Another is Katrina Pearson and Kayleigh McEnany. These are two senior advisors, campaign spokespeople for the Trump 2020 operation. You've got other people like Kimberly Guilfoyle, the former Fox News anchor. I mean, it's a variety of female Trump loyalists who have committed to the campaign and said that they're sort of willing to put in the time and the effort to spread what they believe is a positive economic message to women in suburbs and also in rural areas.
Is there a feel for why the suburban women turned against Trump, or rather the Republican Party, in 2018?
I think a lot of it has to do with the sort of chaos of this administration and the rhetoric. Consistently what we've seen in polls is that the president's Twitter outbursts and the constant changeover in personnel is just something that turns off women more than it does men, even Republican women. I mean, I can't tell you how many polls I've seen where Republican women have said, "I support the president's policies, but I wish he would just stop tweeting." So it's certainly things like that are just a constant thing with this administration, a constant issue, a source of tension that have slowly turned off these women that are going to play a crucial part in the 2020 election.
Thanks, Gabby. Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Well, it seems like a week since we've been to Friday Eve. Oh, in fact, it has.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Beyond the headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as we begin to be bombarded with pumpkin spice products and summer starts to wind down, there are likely two things we'll remember about the summer of 2019: Old Town Road and ice cream liquors. The latter has been one of the grossest trends we've seen in some time and definitely has the attention of law enforcement, who sprang into action this week after another person went viral for licking ice cream at a Walmart store in Texas. A Facebook user named Dapper Don uploaded a 20-second video of him licking a half-gallon tub of Bluebell's homemade vanilla flavor twice before putting the lid back on and the container back into the freezer. The video, which was posted Monday night, was captioned "Happy National Soft Ice Cream Day" and has been viewed over 100,000 times. Now, just 3 hours after the video was posted, police contacted Don, who was able to show a receipt proving that he did buy the licked ice cream himself, so no charges were filed against him. Bluebell, however, was taking no chances, removing and replacing all of the containers of that flavor in that Walmart store.
Jeez.
It's been a rough go for Bluebell this summer.
Yeah.
And in general, the last couple years, but especially this summer, they don't need this nonsense on top of everything else.
Right. I think one shot of this, from a publicity standpoint, could be beneficial.
Right? Yeah.
People like to lick our ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, could have made light of it in the beginning.
Yeah. But now that it keeps happening, it's just, I'm sure it's just frustrating for their PR and marketing folks. Always playing defense, it seems.
Yes. For sure. And I think we're kind of done with this at this point. Like, it was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not completely cute, but
slightly
interesting, yes, at least at first. And like, you know, funny prank. And now we're kind of over this.
Yes.
Officially, we can move on.
And grow up. Let's grow up and move on.
Yeah, that would be nice. And with all the distractions that come with airline travel, it's not hard to accidentally leave something behind at a TSA checkpoint, though some items you would think you'd keep closer tabs on. For example, a live snake. That was apparently a problem for one person who the TSA says left a 15-inch snake behind at a checkpoint at Newark Airport this week. The agency posted a pic of the orphaned reptile on its Instagram page. After discovering the snake, an officer placed a plastic bin over it until police came to take custody of it. It was later identified as a non-venomous ring-necked snake. So if your next question is, wait, I've seen the movies, why would someone try to bring a snake on a plane? The answer may surprise you. The TSA said that snakes are not expressly prohibited from flights, but you should still contact your airline to find out their policy on traveling with pets.
These things now considered comfort pets?
Yes, I guess there's a possibility of that, but you have to check with your individual airline.
Okay.
But I guess it's not a big deal, and I guess, you know, TSA people who see pretty much everything,
mm-hmm,
seeing a snake come through the checkpoint, not a big deal. It's
right.
Just a random, you know, Tuesday in their world.
Hey, I got this boa constrictor. It's serving as my neck pillow.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Every minute you spend updating your company's employee data and systems is a minute you don't spend on your core job. Thankfully, now there's Rippling. It's the first platform that combines all your HR and IT systems together. And when you combine HR and IT, magic happens. Imagine if you could hire someone and take care of all their HR needs, including payroll, health insurance, and 401k, all in as little as 90 seconds. Same goes for your IT. You can order their computer and create their accounts in all the apps you use, like Gmail, GitHub, and Slack, all in one unified onboarding flow. That's how easy Rippling makes running your business. It's also why Rippling won PC Mag's Editor's Choice Award and is the top-rated HR and IT software on G2 Crowd. Stop burning valuable time on admin work. Use Rippling, and your HR and IT will run like a well-oiled machine. If you're looking for an easier way to supercharge your employees, go to rippling.com/morning and get 20% off. That's rippling.com/morning for 20% off. Hey, glad you're with us. Following a budget, it was one of the most effective means of tracking your finances and meeting your money-related goals, right? You've heard this forever. Without a budget, you might struggle to save money or keep up with your bills, stay out of debt. And the more accurate your budget is, the more useful it will be. With that in mind, the Motley Fool has a couple of budgeting mistakes that could derail your efforts to stay on top of your finances. Number one, not updating your budget periodically. The best you can really do is to base your numbers on your current income and expenses like rent, car, student loan payment. But what happens when your rent increases? Suddenly all your numbers are off. Update your budget as your expenses change. The same holds true if your income changes, whether it goes up or down. Also, not leaving room for savings. Having a budget can help you avoid spending down your entire paycheck on a monthly basis, thereby enabling you to save money consistently. And the final mistake, not factoring in once-a-year expenses like a life insurance premium or a professional license renewal. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the Trump administration is moving to allow the government to indefinitely detain families crossing the U.S.-Mexico border and supersede a decades-old court settlement that both limits how long migrant children can be held in custody and sets standards for their care. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan says the new rules are intended to discourage families from attempting to cross the border together in the belief that they will gain an advantage because of the current detention limits for children.
The new rule will protect children by reducing incentives for adults, including human smugglers, to exploit minors in the dangerous journey to our border, using them to beat the system and be released into the United States.
Immigration rights advocates are expected to challenge the rules in federal court where they have blocked the administration before. President Trump once again is backing tighter background checks for gun purchases, but says he wants to be careful that closing what he calls loopholes doesn't clear the way for more gun control.
I have an appetite for background checks. We're going to be doing background checks. We're working with Democrats. We're working with Republicans.
Trump's comments came as March for Our Lives, the student-led activist group founded by survivors of the 2018 Parkland High School mass shooting, proposed sweeping new gun control measures and called on 2020 presidential candidates to endorse its peace plan for a safer America. That plan calls for raising the age to buy a gun from 18 to 21, creating a national licensing and gun registry, banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, as well as implementing a mandatory gun buyback program. Federal Reserve officials were widely divided at their meeting last month when they decided to cut rates for the first time in a decade, with some arguing for a bigger rate cut while others insisted the Fed should not cut rates at all. The minutes of those discussions also show that officials favored taking an approach that avoided any appearance of following a preset course. Not only did he just tie the knot, he's pretty darn rich. Wrestler-turned-action star Dwayne The Rock Johnson tops Forbes' 2019 list of highest-paid actors in the world. Johnson earned a whopping $89.4 million over the past year, including $700,000 for each episode of HBO's Ballers and $23.5 million for Jumanji. Rounding out the top five, Chris Hemsworth, Robert Downey Jr., Bollywood actor Akshay Kumar, and Jackie Chan.
Very good. The Rock, I must say, is just every time out, it just seems to be wildly entertaining. Movies, but like as a person, just to watch him move around on social media and stuff, very entertaining. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. A mother in Georgia has gone viral after setting up a job fair in her home for her three young children. Fox News says Shakitha Marion McGregor decided to set up the hiring event at her house after her children, quote, continued to ask for things like a new cell phone, an allowance, and to go places. Ms. McGregor posted open jobs, which included kitchen manager, lead housekeeper, and laundry supervisor, and printed applications for each of her three kids to apply for the positions. In her post, she wrote, "If you want it, work for it, earn it." Her follow-up to her initial post explained that she had conducted her interviews and shared more photos of her children's applications, calling attention to the salaries they were requesting, which ranged from $20 a month to $15 a week. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.